Welcome, everybody, to the first week of Pastor's Community Church. I figured with this being the beginning of the new year, we'd talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions. So, like everybody knows the joke, we make resolutions on December 31st, and then by the middle of January, or, you know, I don't know, the 2nd, January 2nd for some of us, we've abandoned them. See, resolutions rarely take, but I do like the spirit behind them. There's something in us all that longs for new life. And I don't know what it is, but the calendar turning over to a new year kind of fills us with hope. We all recognize that there's stuff in us that we would rather not be there and stuff that we'd like to fix. We want life, but we settle for a smaller waistline. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with a smaller waistline or, you know, being physically healthier. But we just sort of settle for those things all the while. I don't know that it really touches kind of what, you know, we are actually wanting, which is life, real life. So let's sort of lean into that longing today. I want to look at a passage in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23. And Jesus has some interesting words here for some of the religious leaders and to his followers. It says this, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they don't practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." It's hard to even know really where to start with this passage. I mean, to say that it's a strong and forceful message is a bit of an understatement. But I want to notice a couple things about it. And I think one of the things, the main things we have to notice is that Jesus's critique of the religious leaders, of the Pharisees, doesn't have anything to do with what they teach. He never critiques their theology. In fact, he tells them, tells the people, his disciples, do everything they tell you to do. Just don't do what they do. In fact, Jesus's teachings actually aligned really well with the Pharisee sect of Judaism. So no, he's not criticizing or critiquing what they teach or critiquing their theology. He criticizes their behavior. And when he does it, he uses some insanely strong language to get his point across. He calls them whitewashed tombs. He calls them hypocrites. He says that when they make a convert, they make them twice the child of hell that they are. But I want to focus on the word hypocrite. It's a word that sort of gets thrown around a lot in religious circles. And then, you know, I think a lot of times it's a word that's used about Christians, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But the word hypocrite's interesting because it's actually a Greek theater term, and it means someone with a painted face. You see, if your face is painted, then you aren't who you claim to be. You're putting on a show. You're acting. In other words, you're full of shit. And I really think that's probably the best way to read Jesus' words here. Guys, you're completely and utterly full of shit. You say you believe all these things, you teach these things, you follow the law really well, but there are no legs on it. Because when it comes down to it, you're just acting. You're completely full of shit. I think this critique of Jesus is really super important now, like 2,000 some odd years after he said it. So there's been a lot of talk in the last decade or so about post-evangelicals and about being in a moving into America being a post-Christian culture and all that. People are leaving the church in droves, and most of them are leaving because of the massive disconnect between what the church teaches and how the church behaves. So for me, I think it's imperative that we look inward and see what death and decay lies inside of us. So I think the best question we can ask ourselves each day is this: how can I be less full of shit? Because I think most, if not all, of us would say we want a world that is more loving, more just, and more equal. And most of us would say that we believe that, yes, love wins. Everybody's got the bumper sticker or the t-shirt. We would say that love wins. We would say that grace is the best way to live. But the question is whether or not our behavior matches those beliefs. Because I think we can all agree that those are the correct beliefs. I've been asking this question of myself a lot in the last few months, and some days are better than others. Just the other day, actually, just to be transparent, the other day I was feeling particularly good about my progress. I was kind of feeling a little more enlightened that day. This was actually just New Year's Eve, just a few days ago. And it was one of those instances where I was feeling really good, and then I realized just how far I had to go. Mandy and I got home, and we had a flat tire in our car. So keep in mind, this was New Year's Eve in the afternoon, and the only place left to take my car to try to get a tire patch was Walmart. And I had to work the next day, and they were about to close, and I lost it. I completely lost my shit. I snapped at Mandy. I snapped at the kids. I snorted and I stamped around the house like an idiot. It was bad. And I'm telling you that so it doesn't seem like I'm coming across in this little sermonette or message or whatever you want to call it, like I have it all figured out. But I will say that there's been a lot of instances where I'm about to sort of lose my shit at work, which can be a little bit stressful from time to time, or I'm about to post that thing on Twitter or Facebook or whatever it might be. And this question, how can I be less full of shit today, has stopped me from making some pretty bad choices. Like, I'm kind of learning that this whole thing is a process, most likely a lifelong process. And as much as I want to be a finished product, I'm kind of starting to realize that I'm not sure there is such a thing as being finished. If I'm honest, sometimes it sort of feels like a Sisyphus. If you don't know the myth of Sisyphus, go ahead and Wikipedia that now. It feels a little bit like Sisyphus rolling a boulder up to the top of the mountain, only to get a flat tire and watch the damn thing roll right back down the mountain to start over. I'm also learning that introspection really sucks. It really is a kind of a death. I think Jesus points to this so much, and this is kind of what he's talking about when he says in numerous places to, if you want to come after me, take up your cross and follow me. That's the only way. It's a kind of death, but what we find if we walk through that valley is the new kind of life we long for, but it's super hard work. And it's painful, but for some reason, it also seems to be the only way, and I think this is exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said that the way to life is the narrow way. So kind of in conclusion, go ahead, hit the gym, eat healthier, quit smoking, stop eating as much chocolate, whatever it is that you've sort of resolved to do in 2018. But understand that there's a longing in you that goes far deeper than any of that, that none of that's going to touch. That longing for grace, for love, for justice, for hope, whatever these things are that we long for, know that it's not gonna, none of that's going to be touched by just going to the gym. Maybe if we all sort of resolve to just ask ourselves, how can we be less full of shit today? Things might change. Maybe we'd find that there's more peace in ourselves and in our world. So have the courage to ask the best question each day. Who knows? Maybe you'll find, maybe we'll all find that bit of love, grace, peace, hope, and joy that we long so much to see. Love and light to you in 2018.